We're in a climate emergency. We need to take emergency action. And so I have great pleasure to bring this process to the Parliament where we can begin the debate about how we can actually engage in a climate emergency response.
My name's Adrian Fiani. I'm Chair of the Environmental College of Engineers Australia, and Engineers Australia is the peak body for the engineering profession in Australia. It has over 100,000 members. I think as part of today's proceedings, I just wanted to reflect on the role of engineers in society. So engineering is about the creation or application of technology to produce goods and services for the community, so we find solutions to problems. Everything you see in the built environment has been designed by engineers. The roads we travel on, the building we're standing against, the water and energy networks that provide our basic human needs. And Australia has over 400,000, nearly 400,000 engineers in the workforce. So, and I know that engineers are working on sustainable projects as we speak, things like the renewable sector. That's a great definition of engineering, but one thing it doesn't do is touch on the leadership that's required, and that's really what Steve is doing, Steve and his team providing leadership. So it's not enough just to respond to the problems of society. We need to lead the debate and influence public policy, so very happy to be part of this event.
There's 18,000 signatures there that we've collected. Interestingly, it comes from all sorts of demographics as we paddle down the coast. Everyone there agrees that we have a climate emergency and we need to do something about it. We hardly found anyone who didn't think that we had an emergency and just wished that our governments would do something about it. So this is nearly 20,000 signatures and it's the start.
And I'd just like to congratulate Steve on the effort he's made, not just in this trip from Ballina over the last few weeks, but in the trip to Paris he made prior to the Paris climate change meeting. It's very clear that climate change is moving far faster and far more rapidly than we're being told about officially. All of the arguments we've currently got about problems in our electricity grids and so on has got absolutely nothing to do with renewables or whatever. It's all to do with the fact we've had 20 years of inaction and denial from both major political parties. We've now left it too late to make a gradual transition from a high carbon to a low carbon economy. We have to move to some form of emergency action. We have the solutions, we have the science, the technology, we have the engineering expertise to do it. It has to be done very quickly. What we now need is the leadership to go with that. If it's not going to come from politics, as seems to be the case, then it's going to be coming from other parts of society. And what we need is the political leadership to get in behind that and support it as fast as we can. Because all of the objectives that our political leaders are talking about, jobs, innovation, growth and so on, come from addressing this problem. They don't come from trying to perpetuate a 20th century economy as they are currently trying to do. So we need to change the paradigm, change the thinking and get moving.
I guess I'm here as the token Liberal. Looking at the polls today, who knows what's happening within the Liberal Party, but they're not paying enough attention, obviously, to this issue. I'm reminded today, Adam, that the Academy Awards are on. You may remember when DiCaprio won his award, he made a very passionate speech about the emergency in relation to climate. We've lost a bit more time since then. I think we've lost a lot of time. As you said, a couple of decades, two or three decades that I've been involved in this issue. And I just see endless opportunities going by the board in terms of domestic business, jobs and growth, might I say. But on the other side, I mean, we've left it pretty much too late. Emergency is a word that's overused in politics, but the climate is an emergency. I think we're probably at or past a tipping point in terms of getting net zero emissions as a minimum by 2050. We have objectives now for the Paris climate talks, 26 to 28% by 2030. I'd like to see some level of bipartisanship and leadership and bipartisanship to outline the transition path we're going to take to achieve those objectives over that time frame. We haven't got a lot of time left. We are going to miss the renewable energy target, I think, in 2020. And so there's quite a lot to be done. And it's not a debate about short-term political point scoring or, you know, renewables versus coal versus... It's about putting down a sensible and deliverable transition process, because the private sector is going to have to make some pretty long-term investment decisions. They need a degree of certainty, a clear sense of direction, and we're not getting it out of the current political process.
to represent Labor at this very important event, and I'm proud to represent the only political party that, as a government, has legislated a price on carbon. And I'm very proud of that, and we don't resolve from that. And the fact that we have a very strong climate change policy that if we were elected last year, would have had as our target net zero emissions by 2050 and 2030 targets that reflected the considered views of the climate change authority. So we certainly recognise that we need to take very strong action on climate change, that ideally it should be bipartisan, and again we saw another missed opportunity late last year to do that. We're very keen to work with the community to really drive the transition to make sure that we take climate change seriously, and recognising that this is so urgent that it needs the entire community's actions, not just politicians, to drive it.
Before I came into Parliament, I spent 12 years working as a lawyer, and I was representing workers around the country, low-paid workers. That was my job, and on the weekends or at election time, I handed out how-to-vote cards for the Greens, and that was the extent of my political involvement, really. And for me, my sort of aha moment was around climate science, and it had been on the periphery of my concern up till then. And I thought, oh, well, there's good people working on it. Surely, if there's good people working on it and the government accepts it's a problem, surely we're going to take the action that's needed in the time that we need to. And for me, it was when you sitting down and reading the science and understanding just how quickly we've got to move, and especially in a country like Australia that's essentially built up its energy system as a series of lines out to coal mines, you understand the speed of the transition that we've got to undertake. And it can be pretty disheartening up in this place when you know that the science says we've got a very short time if we haven't already missed certain tipping points, to then hear debates still occurring about whether climate change is real, let alone what we do to act on it. But a couple of things, I guess, give me heart. One is that if you look back over the last few years, when the financial system got in trouble, world leaders came together in a very short period of time and found trillions of dollars to bail out the banks. And my hope is that one day we'll treat the planet with the same respect that we do merchant banks, and that we might, in the same way that we could get people together to act that swiftly when faced with the collapse of one kind of system, that we may be able to do something similar again. And I think in that respect, elevating the question of emergency is absolutely critical, because I think it's people need to understand this isn't something that's going to happen in the future, it's happening now, and the decisions that we make over the next few years are going to determine what the future is going to be like, and also whether or not what we're seeing now is the new normal or is even going to get a lot worse. It's the second thing that gives me some hope, and here's where I hope that you're not just here as a token Liberal, but I think as representing someone who's got a bit of experience about what's going on in the rest of the world, is that we have signed up to a global agreement that commits us to keep warming below 2 degrees and potentially below 1.5. Now, it would be great if it was legally binding. It would be great if it was backed up with the kind of money that there was for the GFC bailout. It's not, but when you work backwards from what that means, you have to arrive at a conclusion, when you look at Australia's carbon budget, that we are facing an emergency and we've got to act really quickly. Like, there's no other logical path once you've agreed that we've signed up to 2 and then 1.5 degrees. And I hope that over the coming weeks and months that we can start to shift debate so that people understand what it is that we've actually signed up to, and that that means an emergency response. And I know, John, some of the work that you've done in the private sector, I hope that we can start happening through government as well. I asked the Reserve Bank on Friday at the Economics Committee whether they've considered the Paris Agreement at any of their board discussions, and whether they've considered what a 2-degree glide path actually means for Australia's economy, what it means for stranded assets, what it means for coal, what it means for gas. They said no, because we can't discuss everything, and so we haven't considered climate change. And meanwhile, the Governor of the Reserve Bank of England is ringing the alarm bells, APRA is ringing the alarm bells, saying this is a big, big question for the Australian economy. And I hope that over the next weeks and months we can get the government to start, and if not the leadership of the government, at least some of the organs and institutions of government, to understand what's needed, because 2 degrees or 2 less 1.5 means nothing short of an emergency response. And I'm really, really pleased that you're bringing it to the fore publicly, and you will have our full support in trying to make that emergency response a reality. And I saw a little leaflet that you were handing out saying We hope that one day you'll open up the front page of the paper to find that the government has declared that we're in a climate emergency and we need an emergency response. That's my fervent hope as well, and this will help us get there.
Quick response to the political representatives. I know you guys are all very busy and lots of things to do, but I think the thing that politics needs to understand is that this is not just one other item on the political agenda. If we don't get this one right, the rest of the agenda is largely academic. And it does get enmeshed in the day-to-day activities of Parliament, but we need to take it above that and start to look at it quite separately for all the reasons I think you've outlined on.
It's often the case that people in the community come to Parliament to browbeat the politicians to do something. But I think that it's actually incumbent on the community groups themselves to get out into the community and meet and talk with everybody. There's 20-something million people in Australia, and we haven't had enough conversations about this emergency response. And so I think that before we become too holier than thou in relation to the politicians, we have a very big job to mobilise our community so that it becomes politically easy for the politicians to provide leadership. So I think that we need to work together on this, and I think that all sides have a very, very big job to do within our own tribes, within our own sections, our own communities. We've got to mobilise all our groups and come together as a nation and make this actually work. Thank you.
I want to add my thanks to that man over there for kayaking. He left here 2 years ago from Engineering House, towed his kayak up, down into the sea and out, went up the Mississippi, nearly died in the floods coming down the Mississippi, across to England, over the canals, over the channel, down the coast of France and up the Seine to the Eiffel Tower. And that was a real thrill to see the kayak in front of the Eiffel Tower. And then he thought, he had a year's rest, and then he thought, I've got to get back to Canberra. So on the 1st of January, he put Old Yeller in the water at Ballina, and he's come down the coast over the last 2 months with some fantastic meetings, fantastic signatures.
It started small, but if it wasn't for Steve putting his back and his arms behind it, it wouldn't be where it is now, and that momentum is what's going to carry us a hell of a long way further. So we're incredibly indebted to you, and
thanks,
I really mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.
Oh look, I'm just really pleased to be here. You know, I entered politics because I wanted to see action on climate, and knowing that we haven't got a future. You know, if we keep on polluting like there's no tomorrow, well then there will be no tomorrow. And so, you know, for all of us, to bring all Australians together to be recognising that this is incredibly urgent and that we need an emergency scale response to deal with it is something that myself and all of our Greens party members are committed to.
Having been in this movement for a long time, people do get worn down, but they do have some hope. And obviously, I'm usually very critical of the Liberals and Nationals and people in their party. But when there's big issues, that we need to find to come together. And John has given exceptional leadership, and thank you to Ian. Like, at the moment, this is about all of us.